What's up, everybody? Thanks for pressing play today. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, or at least I am. So in this episode, you're going to catch me, Irvin, doing a quick review on a new movie that debuted on Netflix starring our boy Jamie Foxx. It's called Project Power. You've probably seen it, probably seen the previews. So I'm going to give you my honest opinion, feedback, reviews about the movie. We'll go over all the norm. We'll go over the production, cast, plot summary. We'll discuss the budget, the ratings. We'll talk about my thoughts. And yeah, we'll conclude and see what you think. As always, guys, please head over to Apple Podcasts, drop that 5 stars. If you can actually find one of your friends' phones, take their phone, drop that 5 star. This helps broaden our viewership, helps us get to more people. So tell your friends, tell the family, tell the coworkers about it, whoever and anyone and everyone. All right. Well, with that said, let's jump into it. You know the drill. Before we get started, here's a quick clip for you to enjoy.
I'm Miho Nishizumi, and this is Nerd Nostalgia Podcast. And thanks for stopping by. Panzer IV! Oh, and fuck you, Brian, with an I.
Hey, 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 welcome back, my nostalgians, my nostalgites, whatever the fuck you want to be called. Welcome. Thanks for joining me again. Your boy Irvin here giving you a review on Project Power, just like I mentioned before. So I want to start off by saying I apologize to everybody. I know we didn't have an episode last week. We actually haven't had the opportunity to meet up with the guys, phones breaking, babies, all kinds of stuff. So it's been a little bit difficult. On top of that, I had a long, hectic work week, a lot of ups and downs this month for me. So I'm just trying to get back to my normal routine and get you the content that you deserve. With that said, let's jump into Project Power. So this was directed by Ariel Schulman and Henry Joost. I'm hoping I'm saying that last name correctly. It's a bit strange. It's J-O-O-S-T. Anyways, both of them have not a lot of background. Some of the stuff that they've done is the Catfish TV show, Paranormal Activity 3 and 4, and that's about it. And I think maybe it showcases in the actual movie, but I don't know. That's just my opinion. You'll get my overall thoughts here as we go along. Now, continuing on with the production, this was written by a guy who has two first last names. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Mattson Tomlin. That's such a strange name, but, you know, it is what it is. I can't be one to judge. He's written a few things, but he's really going to be an up-and-comer. He has a lot of stuff down the pipe, so the things that I saw that he wrote are going to be Little Fish and then Project Power. However, where he caught people's attention as far as a writer was concerned was when they brought him on for Matt Reeves' The Batman. So that's going to have our boy Pattinson in it. I don't know if he's our boy, but it has Robert Pattinson in it. So, you know, it'll be interesting because I really did like this script, the concept at least. And so this guy actually has a lot of stuff down the pipe along with The Batman, right? That's going to debut pretty soon. That's pretty much, you know, shooting and all that kind of stuff. He has a few other things that are also in line. So there's in the works, he has a comic book based movie called Fear Agent. He has another movie called 2084. And the one that I was most excited about that I've been thinking that they should do, but I've never seen anyone do before, and I'm super pumped for this, it's fucking Mega Man, bro, and broettes. Yeah, Mega Man. I didn't know that that was even being talked about or that it was in the pipe or anything like that, but he's evidently the writer for that. So if he can hone in his skill a little bit more and get us some extra stuff, I think Mega Man, you have so much to pull from and the sky's the limit. I think people, based off of how well Sonic the Hedgehog did, they possibly see an avenue for Mega Man because it can be for kids, but you could also, you know, age it up to meet, you know, the people that played it growing up and definitely give us something super fucking cool. But anyways, very excited for this guy. I want to see what he does with the Batman. We don't know, obviously, if it's going to be good or bad, but I'm curious to see what that script's going to be like. So let's move forward with the production over to the cast. there's a bunch of people that are on the cast list, but I really am only going to talk about three people just because they're the ones who are the main focus of the... They're the main protagonists, right? So while Jamie Foxx is the big casted bill on here, you also have big names like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and also another up-and-comer, I think, is Dominique Fishback. So let's start with the big guy, the bigwig, Jamie motherfucking Foxx. I'm using a lot of curse words today. I'm sorry. I apologize. I am not going to beep it out. Suck it. Just kidding. No, I'll try to bring it back, tailor it back a little bit. But yeah, Jamie Foxx is here, man. He's going to debut as Art, aka The Major. You'll find out why he's called The Major within the movie. Singer, actor, you know him. You know who he is. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in Living Color. That's one of the first things that I remember seeing him in. He was in Moesha as Woody. That's on Netflix now, by the way, so you could totally check that out if you never have. He was in one of my favorite football movies ever called Any Given Sunday as Willie Beeman, a.k.a. Steeman Beeman. Willie Steeman Beeman, baby. Oh, what a good movie. He was Alvin Sanders in the movie Bait. He was obviously in his own show. You may remember that. It was called The Jamie Foxx Show, starring as Jamie King. Then he was also in a movie called Collateral with Crazy McCreazy, Tom Cruise, a.k.a. his own stuntman. Have you ever seen some of the stunts that Tom Cruise has done? Go Google that real quick. There's four that come to mind for me. The rappelling from the building, the hanging off of the side of the airplane. Those are the two that stand out for me for sure. But I know there's a video that has like four of them that I recently saw. But those two stood out to me. I'm just like, man, this dude is crazy, but also super awesome. But continuing on, he was also Ray, a.k.a. Ray Charles, in the bioflick, which he has another bioflick he's going to be in, and we'll talk about that here in a bit as well. He was in a movie called Stealth, a terrible, terrible, awesome movie called Stealth. If you never saw Stealth, he was Lieutenant Henry Purcell, or I don't know. He was in the movie. Basically, it's about AI out-maneuvering, out-mavericking, out-top-gunning fucking people, and so... That was pretty cool. It reminds me of the one scene in The Green Lantern where Ryan Reynolds has to outperform the machine and he does some crazy shit. That's basically what ends up happening here. But then they end up teaming up with the AI and, you know, saving people and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, I don't think it was a big role in that. I can't remember. Anyways, moving forward, he was in Miami Vice starring next to Colin Farrell. That's a solid movie as well. One of the best, I think, acting points that I've ever seen him in was in a movie called The Kingdom. He was Ronald Fleury. He was like this basically like CIA former military guy, and one of theirs gets killed, so they go across the seas. They get like 24, 48 hours or something to kind of do a quick detective work and figure out who the killer is and try to get revenge. Super good movie. Great story, great plot, great acting. I highly, highly recommend that movie if you've never seen it before. All right, moving forward, he was in White House Down, he was in Baby Driver, what else was he in? Oh, of course, he was in Django Unchained. That is probably my favorite movie that I've ever seen Jamie Foxx in. The Kingdom, solid. I forgot about Django Unchained, and he is amazing in Django Unchained. If you've never seen that, definitely give that a go. So he does have a couple of big movies coming up. I mentioned one of the bioflicks. That's going to be Mike Tyson. So he's getting yoked right now for that. He's pretty jacked. And you could kind of see it in this movie as well. And then he's also going to be Spawn in an upcoming Spawn movie. As far as his role in this movie, I thought he did a good job. You know, not the best performance he's ever given. You know, kind of right in the middle. Definitely not Django Unchained level nor The Kingdom. So kind of right in the middle. It was good, not amazing. Moving forward with our boy Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Detective Frank Shaver. You know him from a lot of things. You may remember him from Roseanne as George, the movie 10 Things I Hate About You as Cameron, from Third Rock from the Sun as Tommy, Tommy Solomon, I want to say. Pretty sure that's it. He's been in a lot of chick flicks, 500 Days of Summer. He was in G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra as Rex, a.k.a. the Doctor. He was in Inception, that's another one you'll remember him from. And then, of course, he was in The Dark Knight Rises as Blake, Robin, a.k.a. Robin, as you come to find out at the end of the movie, which was fucking so dumb. One of the things that I hate from that movie. He's been in Snowden as Edward Snowden. And then, of course, one of the movies that I think is going to get a huge following later on is Looper as Joe. I really like that movie. All right, moving forward. Well, his performance, I thought he did pretty good. Again, not an amazing performance, like anything that stood out, but it was really good. It was a good performance for sure. I would say slightly better than Jamie Foxx's performance in this case. And Jamie Foxx was good, so he's a little bit better in this movie. Moving on to Dominique Fishback, a.k.a. Robin. Ironically enough. So, she's been in a bunch of stuff. I haven't actually seen her. The only thing that I remember her from was in The Deuce. But she's been in The Americans. She's been in Blue Bloods. She's been in The Hate U Give. And then, like I said, she was in The Deuce as Donna, a street hooker. Basically, The Deuce, if you've never seen that, is a show about the 70s and 80s, maybe 60s, 70s, 80s. I want to say 70s for sure, where it was the changing of how New York and Madison Square Garden and all that, and how the real estate people came in and tried to, like, you know, move out the scum. And it's a story about pornography as well, and the rise of pornography and the porn world. So very interesting show. It starred James Franco, and he does a really good role in that movie. That show. He does a really great job. He performs not only as himself, but also as his twin brother. So he has to give two different performances, and he does a really good job because they're two different characters, similar but different. And it's a really good performance. I highly recommend that. That's on HBO, now Max, right? HBO Max. So if you have HBO Max, give that a go. It's called The Deuce, D-E-U-C-E. The Deuce on HBO Max. Give it a go. All right, let's move forward with the plot and the summary. So what is this Project Power about? All right, my quick description. I like giving these. It's basically Limitless plus Man on Fire meets X-Men. That's essentially what it is. So it starts off with the guy showcasing a new drug called Power. They explain that it's a pill that essentially gives the person extended abilities, enhanced abilities, for up to 5 minutes. With each person taking the pill and having a different set of powers. So, for example, you may get fucking Hadouken Fires or Johnny Cage Storm, Flame On. You get fucking Human Torch abilities. Or you may get some psychic shit. You may get bulletproofness. I don't know if that's the correct term for it. But yeah, you may be, you know, immune to bullets, and just your skin is so hard. So a lot of different powers. You come to find out that it's based off of animals, slight spoiler wording there. So it's based off of different animals. That's where they're pulling from, the DNA. So really interesting concept. I really liked it. So you get those powers for 5 minutes. Well, the movie then pans like 6 weeks later or something like that. And, you know, there's a lot of crimes. People have been calling, yo, I saw this guy like lift a truck over his head. I don't know how he did it. And like the calls just keep increasing and the crime rate is going up because you have these superhumans that are, you know, camouflaging and then robbing banks, and they get enhanced strength and then, you know, speed, all these things. So it's a really interesting concept. The movie is actually set in good old NOLA, New Orleans, in New Orleans. So I absolutely hate and love that city at the same time. It's beat me a lot of times as far as bachelor parties are concerned, but there have been times where I have won. I have seen the sun rise because they don't close the bar till 5 or 6 a.m. And I've walked hand in hand with a buddy, shout out Chris, who just got married this weekend, hand in hand at a bachelor party, or not hand in hand, arm in arm, walking down, seeing the sun rise in New Orleans. So pretty cool experience. One of the things that I'll remember forever. Congratulations to you and Lacey on getting married. So happy, so proud of you guys. So, moving forward, back to the plot. It's set in New Orleans. All this crime is happening. Well, it pans over to Robin, our main lead character, female character, right? She's a power dealer, if you will. She's a little, you know, on the block type of dealer. Like, she's essentially selling dime bags and stuff. Like, nothing crazy. So, she has some regular buyers, and one of them is like, oh yeah, how much? Well, it's three of them, I should say. The scene is three of them. They essentially try to jump her, and here comes this cop out of nowhere on a bike, on a dirt bike, and he basically puts up his gun. He's like, take that pill. Do it, do it, do it. He's like, I'll blow you right away. He's like, some people don't even make it, and like, you know, they get loser powers. And so these kids get scared off. He quote-unquote arrests Robin, but it was just a show for the other ones so they can run off. And what ends up happening is that you find out that this guy, Robin, oh, I'm sorry, no, just kidding, not Robin from the Dark Knights. It's Detective Shaver, who you find out he's a regular customer. So he takes the pills to try to meet the same level of bad out there. And so he does it every once in a while. And you actually get a scene where he does use it and you find out what his power is. I won't give it away. Pretty cool power. Nothing amazing. But because he is a police officer, it's a perfect fit for it. So that's just good writing right there from our boy Mattson Tomlin, right? All right, continuing on. You find out that he's working on this case, that he sees that this power drug is hitting the market. And so he goes to his bosses. His bosses are like, hey, the feds are on my ass. There's this guy named Art. He's the source of all the bad. And so sure enough, you find out that Art is AKA Major, and he's after someone named Biggie, essentially the main boss. And so he has a run-in with this character named Newt, who just so happens to be Robin's cousin. However, it's MGK, aka Carlson, or whatever the fuck his name is. So MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, the douchebag that tried to go after the king, the goat, fucking Eminem, and just got demolished. If you've never heard their recent beef, I think it's like a year or two old. But yeah, MGK went after him and just got absolutely destroyed. There's three songs. So it starts off with Eminem's Not Alike featuring Royce da 5'9 on the Kamikaze album that he just debuted again like a year or two ago, however long it goes. So there's a lyric in there where he basically mentions how shitty this guy is, drops like maybe a line or two, and sure enough, within like a few days, Machine Gun Kelly posts his version or his comeback, if you will, dissing Eminem, talking about how he's old, all this kind of stuff, right? Well, whenever I heard that song, I was like, man, it's pretty good. I was like, but this sounds like you have literally written your entire life based on this one comeback, based on Eminem actually acknowledging who you were, because some of the stuff is just dated. And then some of it, yeah, it was current, but most of the stuff to me was like, I could have written that knowing that, you know, Eminem was going to do this eventually. And so from there, Eminem does his kill shot. That's his diss track to the Rap Devil. I know you guys are probably not interested in this, but I fucking love rap, and I have always listened to it growing up. And so Killshot, he absolutely destroys him. So highly recommend those three songs. Not Alike featuring the Royce da 5'9, Rap Devil by Machine Gun Kelly, and then Killshot by Eminem. So highly recommend you go YouTube them. Look them up. They're ridiculous. I mean, Eminem is the GOAT. I don't know why anyone would ever go after him. All right, back to the movie. So you have MGK that's in this movie. She's Robin's cousin. Again, not sure how that lines up, you know, but whatever. He ends up having a run-in with Art, and, you know, things happen. And so from there, the plot moves over to Art, aka the Major, finding and kind of setting a trap for Robin to get her. Again, this is in his pursuit of Biggie and trying to find that person. And so during this process, they end up having a bonding moment or whatever, right? There's a moment of weakness for Art, the Major, and it just so happens that Robin's actually a good kid, and you kind of see that. They play that a little bit into her stuff. She's just been dealt a shitty hand and is trying to make ends meet. You find out why, all that kind of stuff. So she's a good kid, shitty situation, she's just doing what she can. So from there, they bond, they create a mini alliance, and then this is where the adventure takes off. And you come to find out that there's more to it than it just being a drug that gives people abilities. And so that's where I say it's kind of that Man on Fire vibe. And if you know what I mean by that, then you know what I mean. If you don't, then you don't. So Limitless, Man on Fire, X-Men. That's essentially what this is going to be. Pretty solid movie. Again, it's very entertaining. I liked it. But I wouldn't, I probably wouldn't rewatch it. Just because it's not that good. Like, it's good. Like, it was entertaining. You know, it's only 114 minutes. So, and I was, you know, I knew that it came out. What was it? It released August 14th, 2020. And today is August 17th, 2020. So, I had some extra time to kill this weekend. And I said, you know what? Let's watch it. Watched it. was entertained, you know, but nothing crazy. I still like Bright better than this movie. I think that's a better movie than this one, even though I liked the concept of this one a lot. A lot of cool fight scenes here with the powers. Obviously, you know, they're going to try to showcase that as much as they can. Specifically, the two fight scenes that stood out to me are going to be the one in the grocery store. You'll remember that. It's in Chinatown, I want to say. And then, of course, the big bad fight at the end. You kind of get I would like to call it the Goku Super Saiyan mode. You finally get that at the end, and you're like, oh, sweet. However, that's not the most iconic or nostalgic part to me of this movie. To me, what stood out the most was Robin's rapping. Those were always easily my favorite parts, and they were just really well done on her behalf, and the lyrics were written really well. Again, I just had a couple-minute rant about UGK and Eminem's, you know, beef, if you will, and their diss tracks, so obviously I'm a fan of rapping. But yeah, that stood out to me. I really enjoyed that. All right, let's move forward then with budget and ratings. So the budget for the movie was $85.1 million. Sorry, that was my impression of old Dr. Evil. Whatever. Anyways, the ratings, IMDb has it at a 6.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 62%. But you don't care about those. That's not why you're here. You're here for the Nerd Nostalgia Podcast review. You want to know what we're going to give it, what I'm going to give it. How many Ewoks did this movie land at? The answer is 6 out of 9 Ewoks. Like 5.5 to 6 Ewoks. So out of 9 Ewoks, you got to remember that. So essentially, one Ewok is 1.1 stars. So this lands somewhere around the 6 to 7, which is right in line with what other people are rating it. It's like I said, it's entertaining. It's nothing great. If you have a couple hours to kill, watch it. It's fun. It's a fun movie, but it's not going to just wow you, and it's not going to get, you know, the zeitgeist going. It's not going to get people talking about it and being like, whoa, this movie was awesome, blah, blah, blah. It's one of those movies. I don't know what it is when movies like Limitless, Push, you know, some that deal with like extra abilities and superpowers, people just don't respond to it if it doesn't automatically have a Marvel tag to it, have a DC tag to it, have a Dark Horse tag to it, IDW, whatever. So yeah, that's what I would rank it. 5.5 to 6 Ewoks. So yeah, there you have it. Good, but not great. And even then, it's just okay, I would say. I know, I keep going back and forth. Okay is where I would land it. Like, enough to entertain you, not enough to wow you. All right, moving forward. Final thoughts and conclusion. Like I said, the movie's, it's good enough to watch, but it's nothing earth-shattering. It's a super cool concept. And I felt like there was a lot that was left on the table. There could have been more that was delivered. I don't know, just something. It was missing something. It's obviously not the actors. It had solid actors. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Something was definitely missing. And I'm really excited to see this writer, Mattson Tomlin, to see what he does. I want to see more of his work, especially with Mega Man. I'm excited for that. I was very astonished to find that movie was, you know, even being talked about being made. Again, the movie is basically Limitless plus Man on Fire meets the X-Men. It's like Limitless in the sense that it has to do with a pill being ingested and it gives the person abilities. And it's like Man on Fire because you'll find out that there's more depth than that, you know, there's an ultimate goal and you have Jamie Foxx chasing after something. And then, of course, it's like X-Men because everybody's powers are a little bit different, right? Or even you could say like Deadpool, but it'd still be X-Men. Or you could say something like My Hero Academia or One Punch Man, whatever. People have different abilities, different powers. That's essentially my point for that. So it's a fun, quick watch, but not on the same level as The Old Guard with Charlize Theron that just came out, that's also on Netflix. And I want to say I haven't reviewed that, so I probably should. I think I was waiting on the boys to watch it so we can all do a triple review for you guys and give you our thoughts about the movie. Well, guys, I think that is going to do it for me. We are sitting here right at about 24-ish minutes. I want to say thank you for listening. Again, apologies about last week. Know that we have a lot of stuff in the works for you guys. So Brian is actually interviewing a author tomorrow, so we'll get that one on the waves over here. He's essentially also starting a different podcast. He's still going to do this, the Nerd Nostalgia podcast, but he's doing one where he's going to be interviewing people about their jobs. And so it's not going to be, you know, talking to CEO, Fortune 500 people. It's going to be realistic jobs, you know, wellness managers, surgical techs, dietitians, in this case, authors. And so we'll see what that's going to entail. But we're going to bring that one on board as well as debuting it with his podcast. But we'll see whenever he debuts that. We also are working with a couple of other podcasts to do a, what do we call it? Crisis on Infinite Podcasts. We're going to do some meshing, and so I'm excited to get that going. We also have a couple other stuff that we've just been sitting on that we're waiting to get out to you guys. So very excited for all of this to get out there. Please follow us on social media. Go to Instagram. That's where we're the most active. We do have a Facebook. We do have a YouTube, but Instagram is definitely where to find us. It's nerd.nostalgia.podcast. If you just type in Nerd Nostalgia, I'm sure we'll pop up. All right, guys, that's pretty much it. Have a wonderful day, and remember, stay nerdy, my friends.